It is certainly good to see each one here. We hope that those who are not able to be here with us this morning will be able to accomplish those things that need to be done so they can come and be back with us once again, whether that be healing or getting things back under control or returning back home. We need to continue to think of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and our concern for them certainly should be one of the things foremost in our minds. I don't know that I could have come up with a better song to go with this morning's lesson than "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And David and I didn't even talk about what I was going to preach this morning. Brother Bill read for us the first five verses of 1 Peter chapter 5, and I suspect maybe when he started reading that, he and some of you might have thought, well, he's going to talk about elders or submitting to elders this morning, and we are going to talk about submission, but not to elders. And as he was reading, I looked back up to verse 19 in chapter 4, and I want to include it as we begin the lesson this morning also, because Peter there says, "Therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." That's what we want to talk about this morning, giving ourselves to God, to give up. Stop trying to take control. Stop trying to be the one who is in charge. You've seen the bumper stickers, I'm sure, at least those of you that's been driving for a few decades, that says, "God is my co-pilot." Well, if God is your co-pilot, it's time for you to swap seats. Because He needs to be your pilot, not your co-pilot. In fact, He needs to be the one in charge of the plane, and you just going where He tells you to go. Or car, if you're talking about a car instead of a plane. We need to learn to give up. That song that we sang, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," talks about the potter and the clay. You know what happens to a chunk of clay that the potter can't mold? That it's not workable? He throws it out. It might be good for a brick or something, or a doorstop, but it's not going to make a plate or a vase or a cup because he can't work it. In order for the potter to have success with the clay has to be malleable and has to be submitted to the will of the potter. Elsewise, you cannot work with it. And the same is true of us today. In continuing the reading that Brother Bill had for us, looking at verse 6, after Peter tells the elders they need to be humble in their service, and then he says, younger men also need to subject yourselves to the elders. You need to be clothed with humility. He says in verse 6, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." The song that our children used to sing that they learned at camp in the summertime, I say our children, we sang it ourselves some, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." That's what Peter is saying here. Humble yourself. The imagery is similar to what James uses in one of his examples about how we need to not exalt ourselves or be arrogant or boastful about who we are. When he says, when you're invited, you come in and you sit down in the lowly seat. Because if you come in and you sit down in the high seat, the seat of honor, the master of ceremonies may come and say, "Hey, you're in the wrong place. You need to go sit over here underneath my footstool." He says we need to humble ourselves. We need to look upon ourselves as in the lowly estate. And Peter specifically applies that in regards to our relationship to God. We need to let God take control. We need to give up. Because we don't have the answers. We can't fix it ourselves. If we will surrender, it will lead to a happier, healthier, and more fulfilling life. One of the things that Peter tells us in this passage when he says, give yourself completely over to the Lord and let Him take control, is it'll help take care of our anxieties, our cares and our concerns, our worries. Certainly when we think about this, we think back to Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 in particular, where Jesus tells us that we need to not be worried about the day-to-day necessities of life, that we need to put our focus on serving God. We need to let God have control in our life. And these daily cares that we have that distract us and keep us from putting our focus on Him will be taken care of. They'll be handled. If they're not, as long as we're faithful to God, we've got a reward waiting for us when this is all over anyway. There are a lot of things in this life that cause us difficulties and stress. Jobs, the changes in technology, raising a family, school events, sports, PTA, band boosters, all of those sort of things that have to be taken care of in addition to illness and food on the table and clothes to wear and cars to work and all of those sort of things. There's a lot of things that can weigh down on our minds. I mean, I've got to get that budget done because if I don't, it won't get done. And what's going to happen if it doesn't get done? As we get older, we face deteriorating health, whether we're going to have enough funds to live on when we retire. If we're going to be able to retire is usually the question we have nowadays, instead of, will I have enough to retire on? Will I be able to retire, or am I going to have to work the rest of my life? All of these things can weigh us down. Then on top of all that, we've got the concerns about our society and the direction that it's going, and what are my children exposed to, and what am I going to have to deal with, and am I going to be able to come together with the saints on the Lord's Day and worship God without worry about somebody coming through the doors with guns and killing us all, or coming through with handcuffs and arresting us and taking us to prison? And I know we don't necessarily think in those terms, but some of us are beginning to wonder how much longer we're going to be able to gather in such freedom. Those things can eat us up to where there's nothing left for God. We need to learn to give up. We need to learn. I used to love this phrase. We need to learn to let it go. We've got to let go of things, because we can't solve them on our own. We don't have the answers in our own minds. God does. The image of God as a pilot is a very useful image to me, because when I go somewhere, I want to be the one in charge of the wheel. I don't like riding with other people. Nearly everywhere I go, I drive. I mean, it's even gotten to where I drive Dad now when he's with me, instead of him driving me most of the time. My brothers kid me about not wanting to fly because they think I'm afraid to get off the ground, and I kind of like terra firma, but it's as much a matter of I'm no longer in control as it is a matter of being in the air. I'm not the one holding the wheel. Something goes wrong, does that guy know what to do? I understand this idea of needing to let go. I'm not very good at it. But we need to learn to give up. Because letting God take control of our troubles and our sorrows and our difficulties and our anxieties and our problems frees us up to serve and honor Him, to read and study His Word, to meditate, to think about God and what He's done for us. It allows us to be moldable clay in the hands of the potter. We need to give up. because it will help with our anxieties and our troubles. Let your worries go. Let God handle the problems of the world, including your day-to-day problems. As much as we might want to, and as much as we have a responsibility to do what we can, we're not going to fix the political situation in our country by ourselves. We've been breaking it for hundreds of years now, just a little bit at a time. Let's let God be in control. We look to God, God, what do I do? Let God tell us, and we deal with our anxieties like that. Which matters? Do I wear the orange shirt or the blue shirt today? It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. It's not going to matter in the grand scheme of things. Do I vote for this or vote for that? Well, there's something that matters there. So, what does the Bible say? What kind of guidance does God give me in this? Make your decision and let it be God's choice. Do I take this job that's going to give me more money and I'm going to be able to retire and my kids are going to have the things that I would like for them to have? They're going to have an easier life than I did and we're not going to have to struggle and all, but it means moving away from my base of folks that I know are sound and solid and will help me and keep me focused on the Lord and serving Him. Is there, or do I stay here with how things are? Or there's a third choice. I can go over here and I don't know them yet, but there's still a good sound base to help me there. Yeah, that decision matters. It matters a lot. Which one? I'm going to retire. Do I move out close to where my kids are, no matter what's going on there? Or do I stay where I am and hope for the best because I've got good, solid brethren nearby? Give it to God. Look at His Word. Let Him take control. Give it to Him. And no more anxiety. No more need for concern and care. Because we're going to let God do what's best for us. It relieves our anxiety. But Peter continues, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." Some might look at that and say, well, that calls for us to take action, for us to be me doing something. Well, yes and no. Remember, this discussion starts by humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let God take control. Let Him be in charge. Because when we let God take control and God be in charge, it keeps us safe. Because when we let God be in charge, we listen to the advice of men like Paul we saw in our Bible class this morning. We stay away from those people that are so ungodly and wicked and evil. And we avoid some of the struggle and trouble and problems that might arise from that. Or the advice he gave the Galatian brethren that even when we go to talk to a brother who's in sin, we give careful concern to ourselves so that we don't get caught up. Because what we do is we let God take control in all aspects of life, and therefore we are protected, we are guarded from Satan and his evil arrows. Isn't that what Ephesians chapter 6, with the armor of God, all about? Rather than arming ourselves, we need to let God arm us. Let God put on the protective abilities and give us the weapons that we need. And we need to use God's weapons because we can know that they will keep us safe. It's not my ideas and my ways that are going to help me to stay away from Satan or are going to protect me when Satan finds me. It's God and His plan and His methods. We recognize that we live in uncertain times. We understand, as we talked about with some of those anxieties, that there are a number of ways that we could be affected and have problems arise. But when we humble ourselves before the Lord, when we give ourselves wholly over to His protection through His Word, we can overcome those things. We will have the armor that will protect us from the fiery darts of Satan. We will have the preparation of the gospel that will allow us to carry ourselves away from Satan, keep us out of those places where he might be found. We will have our eyes open. We will be watchful and we will be alert. And we won't be the one that's dragging along behind, almost getting left, that Satan will snatch on to. In fact, we'll be the one that's watching out for Satan, trying to help others to avoid. We'll be watchful and alert. See, humbling ourselves in the sight of God doesn't mean we just go hide in our house and hope for the best. It means we give ourselves over to what God would have us to do. We let His instructions guide us. We let Him mold us in who we can be, who He wants us to be. He will watch out for it. There is no record of anyone under God's protection being attacked where God was not with them and helping them overcome. Every time Israel turned to God, they won. Every time. The book of Revelation is a book that over and over and over talks about, no matter how bad it gets, if you're on God's side, you come out ahead. And some might look and say, well, but we look back at history and Peter was crucified, Paul was in prison, beat, left for dead. Every one of the apostles died a horrible, violent death, except the possibility of John. All those Christians in the days of Nero that were cast into the arena to fight the animals or used tied up on poles as light for the parades and for the festivities. All those that are being beheaded over in Asia or China today because of their stand for God. Don't look like they won. Really? If they lost their lives because they were serving the Lord, where are they now? Without knowing the details of their life, I can't exactly tell you, but I can speak with somewhat assurity that if they suffer according to the will of God, they will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Verse 19 of 1 Peter 4. I can make a fairly educated guess and state safely that if they were faithfully serving God, they're with Him now. There was Lazarus, not the rich man. Doesn't that sound like a win? Part of the reason that we have trouble thinking and realizing that we're safe in the arms of Jesus, that we're safe when we humble ourselves to the will of God, is we're looking at the wrong thing as victory. We think that staying alive is victory. No, no, no. We don't serve God so we can stay alive. We don't keep ourselves out of sin so we can live longer. We serve God so we can die and go and be with Him in heaven. Does that mean that in order for me to be pleasing to God, I've got to go live over in the Middle East and stand up on the street corner proclaiming, I believe God and Allah is crazy? No, that's stupid. And there's nowhere in the Scripture that God said, do that. But it means that I realize that I win not by accomplishing things in this life. I win not by bringing our government back to the perfect constitutional government that some people want it to be. I win not by getting rid of all the homosexuals in the world. I win not by defeating divorce and adultery. I win by serving God faithfully and go to be with Him in heaven when this life is over. And I do that by giving Him control. And in doing so, I stay safe. Not safe from men, not safe from the horrors and violence of this world, safe from hell and the eternal destruction that is found there. Give up and let God take control so you can stay safe. Satan cannot take us away from God if we let God be in control. So give up. Quit trying to control things. Give it to God. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now this ties in with what we were saying a while ago, when we realize, because we've given ourselves to the Lord, that the battle is not about staying alive and accomplishing great things here on this earth, but the battle is about going to heaven, giving our lives to the Lord, allowing Him to take control, keeps us going. It puts our mind on the goal. If you then have been risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. Think on these things. I can do all through Christ, for it strengthens me. There's a home awaiting me. I can be gathered around the great white throne in heaven, singing praises and honor to God for all eternity, because I gave up and let God take control. It gives me a goal. Life is full of things that are going to cause us problems. I don't know of anyone who can live through life and not have any difficulties. I know some folks have tried, and I wish them success, I guess. But that just hadn't been my experience. Just about every time we think everything is going just down the direction we think it ought to be going, something breaks. Something quits. Somebody gets in the way. Somebody gets sick. Something changes. There's always going to be problems and difficulties. And when we put our focus on that and strive to work towards solving all of those things for ourselves, we lose focus on where we're going. But when we put our fate in the hands of God and let Him take control, when we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up. Slavery is not a good topic to talk about. It's not politically correct to mention that in this day and age because of all the atrocities that had happened in the past. But if we want to keep our focus on the goal,
we need to become God's slaves. We need to submit ourselves wholly to Him. His will, His word in all things.
And there is nothing much harder in this life than letting somebody else take control. But you know, back to the analogy of driving, back when I was a young fella, before I learned how to take control and was still okay with somebody else being in charge, we lived back in Pekin, Illinois, and we'd make those journeys back to Mississippi or Alabama. And I wasn't the one in control of the vehicle. All I had to do was sit back and ride. I could keep my focus on where we were going. No matter how many times Dad got lost in Memphis because we were going to Alabama instead of Mississippi and he missed his turn, all I had to do was ride. Because I knew he was going to get me where we were going. And I knew that eventually he'd get on the right road and we'd get out of Memphis and we'd be headed to Alabama. And when we got to Alabama, pulled up in that driveway in Sheffield, everything was going to be fine. Because we'd be at grandmother's house. And it wouldn't matter if we spent an extra hour driving around in Memphis, in a bad part of town, because we were at grandmother's house. And you know, that's all I had to think about during that time. I was supposed to be asleep, but still. Or even if the way was easy, you hit 55 and you take it all the way, you go straight down there into Mississippi and turn off the right place, and you go straight into Tupelo and up there to South Tilla and go to Grandmother Henderson's house, and she'd ask you if you want something to eat, and you come in the door. Everything was great. I didn't have to worry about the roads, the gas prices, whether we had something to eat while we were traveling or whatever. I just had to ride and keep my focus on going to grandmother's house. Maybe that's a simplistic illustration of what Peter's talking about here. But Peter tells us that if we're willing to give up and let God take control, we can keep our focus on where we're going and that we're going to get there safely instead of on all the stuff that's going on around us in the world. I've spent the last 2 months hiding things on my Facebook feed. I know a lot of y'all may not be on Facebook. From people that I still want to be friends with, but they keep popping stuff up all the time that's talking about all the evil and wickedness and problems and this, that, and the other, and the lies and all of that kind of deceit. Not just on politics, but any number of other things. Because I didn't want to see it anymore. If I just let God take control and put my focus on serving Him and getting to heaven, I don't see that stuff. It don't bother me anymore. Maybe it's a sign I need to get off Facebook. I don't know. We need to let God be in charge. We need to let Him be the potter. Because, folks, we ain't nothing but clay. And we're usually not really good clay. You know that nasty red stuff that sticks to your shoes and makes you 6 inches taller after you walk across 2 feet of it? But you can't get to do anything because it sticks to everything. That's kind of the clay we are. And we need to stop being like that. We need to be that pretty gray stuff that the potter puts on his wheel. And he starts that wheel of spinning and then he just turns it into something beautiful. Or at least functional. We need to stop trying to be in charge. We need to give up. As long as we try to solve our own problems, handle our own challenges, we're going to come up short. As long as we put our focus on overcoming anxieties and stresses, facing the things that are here in this life without God, we're going to be lost. Because we're going to get caught up in the struggle to get by in life and to stay alive. And we're going to forget about death. And it's going to catch us when we're not ready. And we're going to be like the servant that Jesus warned about, whose master was a long time in coming. And so he stopped being real diligent and he started pretending like things were his own and that he was in charge. And he started doing things wrong. And his master showed up.
And not only
did
he find out that all of those things he thought was against that he was in charge of and he was responsible for weren't his. But he didn't even belong to his master anymore. He lost it all. We need to give up and let God do it. There are a lot of things we found in the two epistles that Peter wrote. What he writes in the closing chapter of this particular epistle, I think, hits us very close to home today. We need to learn to let God be in charge. Let Him take control. And we can focus on Him in the end goal. And let Him deal with the troubles and trials. So that when we end this life, we're victorious over life with God. And it can be in heaven. If you're not willing to give the Lord your life, you're lost. That's just the plain black and white of it. If you can't give up to God, you're lost. Give up to God. You look at your life this morning and you find that you need to make changes. You need to adjust your attitude. You need to let God be your pilot instead of your co-pilot. We urge you to take the necessary steps to get things right with God. Confess your sins to God and ask Him to forgive. Allow God to take control of your life. And submit yourself wholly over to His service as the congregation can assist you in doing that. And doing things right with the Lord and bringing it before Him so that He might know of your changes. You're here to help Him whatever way you can. Once you come, we'll stand and sing for your church.